On Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Verse of mine and purport. It has a long purport, 3 pages. So we'll just take a bit at a time. The situation is that Yudhisthira Maharaj, after asking so many questions to Arjuna, why are you dejected? Is it because of this? Is it because of that? Family reasons, social reasons. And finally, Yudhisthira Maharaj asked the question he knew he would have to ask. Is your dejection because Lord Krishna is no longer in this world? So then Arjuna explains his bereft condition, separated from the Supreme Lord.
Desha kala cha yuktani.
Desha kala cha yuktani.
Kritta po pashyamani cha.
Kritta po pashyamani cha.
Haranti smaratash chitam.
Haranti smaratash chitam.
Govinda Bhitani me,
Govinda Bhitani me,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Ritta Po Pashyamani Cha,
Ritta Po Pashyamani Cha,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Govinda Bhitani me,
Govinda Bhitani me,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Kritta Po Pashyamani Cha,
Kritta Po Pashyamani Cha,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Govinda Vititani Me,
Govinda Vititani Me,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Kritta
Po Pashyamani Cha,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Govinda Bhitani Me,
Govinda Bhitani Me,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Kritta Po Pashyamani Cha,
Kritta Po Pashyamani Cha,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Govinda Bhitani Me,
Govinda Bhitani Me.
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Ritta Po Pashyamani Cha,
Ritta Po Pashyamani Cha,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Govinda Bhitani Me,
Govinda Bhitani Me,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Desha Kala Chayuktani,
Ritta Po Pashyamani Cha,
Ritta Po Pashyamani Cha,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Haranti Smaratas Chitam,
Govinda Bhitani Me,
Govinda Bhitani Me,
Desha,
Desha,
space,
space,
Kala,
Kala,
time,
time,
Artha,
Artha,
importance,
importance,
Yuktani,
Yuktani,
impregnated,
impregnated,
with,
with,
Rit,
Rit,
the heart,
Tapa,
Tapa,
burning,
burning, Upa,
Upashamani.
Upashamani.
Extinguishing.
Extinguishing.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Haranti.
Haranti.
Are tracking.
Are tracking.
Smalata.
Smalata.
By remembering.
By remembering.
Chittam.
Chittam.
Mind.
Mind.
Govinda.
Govinda.
The Supreme Personality of Pleasure.
The Supreme Personality of Pleasure.
Abhidhitani.
Abhidhitani.
Narrated by.
May,
unto me.
Unto me.
Arjuna speaking. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the Personality Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Herein Arjuna refers to the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all time and in all lands. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord Himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Vedanta Sutras. It is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which is especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers, and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and higher sections of the Vaishyas. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. Om Yanatiranandasya, Kiranjana Shlakaya, Chakshur Mithani, Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. As you were explaining, Arjuna is revealing to Yudhisthira Maharaj the situation. Govinda, Krishna has left. Now I don't have any more powers. You see, Krishna withdrew all of Arjuna's powers. Why is that? You shouldn't be surprised. In Bhagavad Gita, you read how, although Krishna's eternal associates come with him again and again whenever the Lord appears in this world, they don't remember all their appearances. And these are the personal associates of the Lord. Krishna says, Bhuni Megatitani Janmani Tavachari. Arjuna, many, many times you and I have appeared together. I remember, you don't. Now, Arjuna is the Lord's personal associate. Why doesn't he remember? Because he's tiny. To say that you are situated in Satchitananda, eternity, full knowledge, and bliss, doesn't mean you're omniscient. It means you know as much as a part of Krishna can know. But you cannot know as much as Krishna directly. You can if Krishna tells you. So, in that sense, A devotee knows everything because a devotee can get his information from Krishna. A devotee knows whatever Krishna wants the devotee to know. But the devotee is not Krishna. The devotee is not omniscient. In every state, whether you are conditioned or liberated, you are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that when you become perfect, when you revive your original Krishna consciousness, that means that you are independent, an independent entity. No. Such independence never exists except in contaminated thinking. In the dreams of the conditioned souls, independence exists. That's all. It does not exist in reality. We're always dependent on Krishna, no matter what state we're in, illusioned or not. Whether illusioned or enlightened, we're dependent on Krishna. Therefore, when we say a devotee knows everything, the devotee will have full knowledge. That means as much as is possible for a tiny part and parcel of Krishna. Even as we explained, the Lord's personal associates like Arjuna don't remember their constant appearances with the Lord. The Lord says, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahaya Brahmano Vidu. Once every day of Brahma, the Lord comes. And when you say the Lord comes, that means his associates come. The Lord is never alone. How can you be dealing with Govinda, as stated here, the Supreme Personality of Pleasure, and the Lord is alone? Pleasure is always in the association of others. Just like you seek the best association, you want friendly companionship, good camaraderie, good family life. Why? Because you take pleasure in having others around. Everyone knows that feeling. To like having someone else around. For a while. But your life is changing constantly. Sankalpa vikalpa, accepting and rejecting. One day you like something, the next day you don't. One day, oh, stay with me forever. Next day, get out of it. But still, the point is, you want someone around. Why? Because there's pleasure in company. You have a desire for pleasure in company because you're part of Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Pleasure always has the best company. When you say, Sisi Radha Krishna, Sisi Rukmini Dwarkadish, Sisi Lakshmi Narayan, Sisi Sitaram, what you are saying is Krishna has the best association, the best companions. Krishna's companions are the best, and therefore we even say their name before Krishna to indicate their perfection in giving Krishna companionship. So you say, before Krishna, you say Radha. Before Ram, you say Sita. Before Narayan, you say Lakshmi. Before Krishna and Dwarka, Dwarkadish, you say Rukmini. By understanding Krishna, you can understand material existence and yourself in material existence. By properly understanding yourself as spirit soul in material existence, you can understand Krishna. Material existence and spiritual existence are related like a reflection and the real thing. Therefore, don't be surprised that you cannot remember everything. When Arjuna, constant associate of the Lord, can't remember all the appearances they've had. I know what you're thinking. It seems like a long time. Sahasrayugapayantam ayad
brahmanomidu.
Once every day of Brahma. Oh, so long a time for Krishna to appear. Every 24 hours of Brahma, which is 8,640,000,000 years, Krishna comes. But for Krishna, it's like that. From Krishna's point of view, he's never gone. What is 8,640,000,000 years for Krishna? But you think, oh, so long time. Krishna's not been here. But Krishna, it's like a blink of an eye. He's coming and going constantly. It's like if you take a stick and you light the end of the stick on fire and you whirl it around, you'll see just a circle of fire. Not independent points. So that is what Krishna's appearance is like. He's always... It seems he departed from the world. Arjuna's lamenting. But then, from Krishna's point of view, he's back again. So quickly. But you say 8,640,000,000 years. Naturally, as infinitesimal living entities, parts and parcels of Krishna, we can have our potency given or taken away by Krishna at any time. If it can happen to Arjuna, certainly it can happen to us. So Arjuna is giving us a good lesson in who should actually get all the credit for our little endeavors, our little achievements. Arjuna understood. Everything I did was because of Krishna's empowerment. Why did Krishna take away Arjuna's powers after his departure? Because Arjuna's powers were not necessary for going back to Godhead. And now it's time for the Pandavas to go back to Godhead. When Krishna wants you to go back to Godhead, what's the use in you having so many powers for making arrangements in the material world for Krishna's pleasure? Now Krishna says, okay, enough. Line things up, go back to Godhead. So Arjuna is revealing his heart situation. It's the wonderful thing about Srimad Bhagavatam. It recognizes the heart. It gives the best succor to the heart. The best comfort to the heart. Bhagavatam enriches and enlivens the heart. So, in the beginning of this chapter, Arjuna is revealing, my heart is just grief-stricken. My heart is devastating. Krishna is gone. What to do? I'm the same Arjuna. I've got the same Gandiva bow. Same chariot. But now, everything is has no potency. Very instructive. Because often in Krishna's service, we're eager to do something to show our abilities. I'm sure you've all had that feeling. I want to show that I can do something. I want to make my mark in the Krishna conscious world. I want the Prabhus to notice. Yeah? The Prabhu should notice me. The Mataji should notice me. The other Mataji should notice me. Often, when you try to achieve something in the material world, you're frustrated. Ultimately, you'll always be frustrated in the material world, but sometimes it looks like there's success. So when you come to Krishna consciousness, now I can achieve. For Krishna, You're right. You can. It's not the highest motivation, but it'll get you some distance on the path to Krishna consciousness. It's karma yoga. I want to do something. I want to use my abilities for Krishna's service. Full bhakti is whatever Krishna wants, however Krishna wants it, whenever Krishna wants it. Karma yoga, as we always explain, is subtly different. Yes, I give the results to Krishna, but I want the satisfaction of doing things this way for Krishna. I want the satisfaction of using my certain abilities for Krishna. So, a smart person realizes as soon as you try to achieve something in the material world, you'll be frustrated sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. So then, why not endeavor for Krishna? Achieve for Krishna! And Krishna invites you in Bhagavad Gita. Yet corrodes you. Whatever you do, whatever offering you make, whatever austerities you perform, whatever charity you give away, do it for me! He's inviting you. Karma yoga, come on. Whatever you're attached to, do it for me. You want to be a big boss? Be a boss for me. You want a family? Have a family for me. You want to write? Write for me. You want to play music? Play music for me. Karma yoga. Krishna's invited. Still, what does he say at the end of the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? What he says last is the most important thing. One should not be confused by reading Bhagavad Gita. Oh, Krishna says so many things. How do you know which one is the most important? Last thing is the most important. Like if in the morning I tell you, do something this way. Then in the evening I say, actually, the best way to do this is this way. You would consider the last thing I said. So Krishna, in the 18th chapter of the Gita, makes it clear, Arjuna, I'm going to tell you the most confidential things. The secrets of all secrets. Just abandon all conceptions of what you think is dharma and just do what I want. That is full body. Now, to get to full bhakti takes some work. And as we've also explained several times, we don't go around condemning people who are performing karma yoga. We should just be aware of the difference. We want people to use their skills in Krishna's service. Karma yoga is not condemnable. We're very happy. Persons who take advantage of Krishna's offer, whatever you do, do as an offering for me. Nevertheless, we should be aware there's further progress to be made. How is it so that after some advancement in Krishna consciousness, you get to the point in which you just say, all right, Krishna, whatever you want, however you want it. How does that happen? Because it happens because Krishna is so attractive. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Pleasure. You like being around Krishna. You like hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna. So finally you just say, okay, Krishna, whatever you want, however you want it. Let's just be together. In material life, you'd be afraid to say that to somebody. Okay, whatever you want, however you want. You always have to negotiate and Okay, you can have this if I can have that. Okay, whatever you want this week, but next week's my week. There's always got to be that give and take. So, but it's hard for us to understand. What is the pure nectar of devotion? How could it ever happen that you would say, Krishna, whatever you want, however you want it? You say that because you're overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty. Have you ever been overwhelmed by someone's beauty in the material world? So you said, whatever you want, however you want it. Anything. No. There's always some condition, some reservation, some calculation. But because Krishna is the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, He satisfies all your senses perfectly. And therefore, because all your senses, each individual sense, is individually and perfectly satisfied. Okay. Your eyes are satisfied seeing Krishna. Your ears are satisfied hearing about Krishna. Your tongue is satisfied tasting Krishna. Nose, limbs, everything. What happened when Dhruva Maharaj first saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He felt like he was waking up from a deep sleep. It's amazing that right now we think, you know, we're using our senses and they're giving us the full picture and we know what reality is. But when you read about Dhruva Maharaj, you see, when he saw Krishna, he felt like he was coming out of a deep sleep, although he thought he was awake before. And each one of his senses became enlivened simultaneously with the others. How is that? You have some small experiences of one of your senses being partially satisfied. You can remember looking at something, maybe a movie, something like that, and you felt happy to a certain extent just by looking. Or hearing some music, hearing a concert. Yes, you remember that feeling, going to a concert and hearing and thinking, oh, I'm happy. Nice sounds are coming in my ear, and I'm seeing the musicians play on the stage. Remember? You thought you were happy, right? Your senses were happy, hearing the sounds and seeing. Rubbing shoulders with everybody around you. Yes? In the mosh pit. How many of you were frequent at the mosh pit? Did you get crushed? You did crowd surfing too? Who else? You did. There's no eyes, did you do? Who do you love among the men? So you were trying to satisfy your senses, feeling all the crowd banging around you, right? You know, your ears were full of the music, your eyes were full of seeing things around you, and then you wanted to get your sense of touch in there too, so that's what I did. You crowd surfed also? You did that. Thousands of people just groping you? That's what happens, right? Oh, God. Everyone's too wasted. They don't even know what's going on, huh? Yeah, that's why people crowd surf. They get the feeling of thousands of people, you don't even know them, they're just groping you. Yeah. Now, no one wants to admit they crowd surf. Did you do it? Well, that's what it's about, right? You get this wild, you know, you don't know where you're going. You know, you're being passed, you know, on top of the crowd, you know. I've seen movies that show, especially when ladies crowd surf. Oh, they make it a while. Yeah. People want their sense of touch engaged. this is all about. Of course, no one thinks about things that deeply. They're just led around by their senses. They don't even understand how their senses operate. So anyway, you have little glimpses of a particular sense being happy.
So little glimpse.
But suppose there's a situation available in which each one of your senses will be overloaded with happiness. Each one at the same time as the others. That's what Dhruva Maharaj felt. That is the sensory perfection of Krishna consciousness. The reason why we're hesitant to accept devotional service is because we fear my senses won't be fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness. That is the fear. I'll give so much to Krishna and then my senses won't be fully satisfied. That is the paranoia we have. I know material life isn't all everyone says it is, but there was something there. What does it mean that there was something there? It means I had some happiness. But with Krishna, we're not sure. We're wondering, will my senses be fully satisfied in Krishna consciousness? Sometimes I know. You just ask yourself during the day, when you're in the ashram or going about your service, what about my senses? What are my senses really going to do? You ask yourself that, right? Okay, think about it then. What are my senses going to do? My nose is going to smell incense and flowers and food that's been offered to Krishna. My ears, what are they going to do? They're going to hear about Krishna's glories. My eyes, what are my eyes going to do? Stare at Krishna's body. Yes, that is the sport in the spiritual world. Staring at Krishna's body. The stare. Krishna from the feet up to the face. Test your eyes. What is your tongue going to do? It's going to vibrate the Hare Krishna mantra and taste food that's been offered to the Lord. What is your head going to do? Bow down before the Lord. What is your whole body going to do? Your whole body enjoys when it feels the drops of water sprinkled on you that have been offered to the Lord. Doesn't mean you have to dump a whole bucket. It's not the quantity that counts, you know. You thought, the more water you put on my head, the more mercy. Is that what you're thinking? So it's like the way new devotees take prasad, you know. The more, the better. It's the quality of the experience, not the quantity. I'll become more Krishna conscious and dump all the water on my head. I tried to stop him, but he thought I wanted more. But anyway, in the Shastra it is stated, this is pleasure for the body, for all the limbs of the body to be sprinkled with water that has been offered to the Lord. And then when you're dancing in kirtan, naturally you're rubbing shoulders with the devotees. That's also a pleasure. Meditate on these sensory activities in Krishna consciousness. We're not into, as I say so many times, religious belief and religious theology and speculation. We're into sensory activities in bhakti. Young people want it, old people want it, everyone wants sensory activities. That's why you all went to these concerts. You wanted a sensory overload. But Krishna consciousness gives the best sensory experience. So let us rise above this perennial fear that we have. If I become Krishna conscious, what will I do with my senses? Sometimes you can feel your senses just roaring at you. So just say, all right. Eyes, you want to see something? Where's Krishna's picture? Tongue, you want to taste something? Where is some prasad? Where's the holy name? Ears, you want to hear something? Where are the glories of Krishna in here? You can train your senses like that. Sense of touch. You want to touch something? Where are my Java beads? You can squeeze every bead. That's sense control. That is training your senses. Don't just be spaced out and frustrated. What am I going to do with my senses? Oh. I thought it was going to be easier than this. Krishna consciousness. How long can I go on? Well, I shouldn't feel so bad. So many people, they can't keep it up. And I did my best. Let me go find someone to talk to who's also having the same experience. What do you think, huh? You can't keep it up either?
Yeah, neither can I.
Yeah, right. You know what I think? I've been talking to a lot of, you know, persons today, you know, who slacked off in their Krishna consciousness, and they told me everyone's like that. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you found that out too. Oh, yeah, just see. You heard that, Dad? Yeah, I go a lot, you know. So, when you feel that you don't know what to do with your senses, just meditate on engaging a particular sense in Krishna's service. You do that automatically when you take prasad. No one has any doubts during prasad time. The tongue is fully engaged. But every part of the day you should have a program for your senses, just like you have when you take prasad. That's a program for your tongue. Also your nose too. How many of you use your nose when you're taking prasad? Do you get into the fragrances and aromas? That's genuine spiritual activity. So similarly, you do that with all your senses in Krishna consciousness. And think about it. Okay, now the ears will be engaged. Now the tongue will be engaged. Now, during kirtan, I'll move my whole body for the pleasure of the deities. Dancing in kirtan is actually for the pleasure of the deities. So these are ways that your senses will be perfect. They'll act perfectly. And as the years go by in Krishna consciousness, you get that confidence. Yes, I can act perfectly with my senses. Alright, but Arjuna has a heart problem in this chapter. Krishna has departed. It's like his heart is ripped out. Everyone's had that feeling during life in this world of having your heart ripped out by something. Maybe a dear relation died. Maybe you had a parent who died at a young age. Or you thought you were in love and then you were heartbroken. Or your favorite pet died or something. Everyone's had that experience. I know. One Russian devotee, he was like a top computer whiz at his university, and he was
His whole future was going to be brilliant and great. He was the top software genius. The secret police were recruiting him, you know, to be part of their operation. His future was set. And one day, he was working on his particular, he was at a computer terminal, the computer room, and working on a particular intricate programming. Then he got up to go to the bathroom. And so one of his classmates, who was envious of him, while he was in the bathroom, got on his computer and sent a virus through the system that crashed the whole university, you know, computer system. And so, what did they do? What do you think they did?
Explosion.
Yes. Yeah. They traced it. You were on this computer at this time. You made this clever virus that crashed the whole university system. That's the end of you. What would you have done in those circumstances? Your whole future down the drain. What would you have done? Did such a thing happen here?
Yeah. No problem. That thing could happen anyway.
And would they listen to your protest?
No.
No? Would they say you're responsible for being on the machine at that time, yeah, whether you went to the bathroom or not?
You should have locked the computer when you went to the bathroom.
Oh. So they would have expelled you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the end of this guy's future. He was blacklisted also for making computer viruses. So, what would you have done? Life is full of these heart-ripping experiences. You can imagine someone ripping out your heart. That's a normal part of material life. It's not the exception. It's just the general rule. It's only a matter of time before it happens. Now, what is Arjuna going to do about his heart problem? He's going to remember what Krishna taught him in Bhagavad Gita. That will solve the problem. That will relieve his heart. Now I'm attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they're impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Hrit-tapa. Hrit-tapa. Tapa is austerity. This is hrit-tapa. Burning. Burning heart. You can feel that, what it's like to have a burning heart. Yes, it happened to you, a burning heart. There's no relief when you have a burning heart. You try to take intoxication, you try to go to a party, this, that, but when your heart is burning, there's no relief. Everyone's had experience? No, Krishna, no burning heart? Have you ever had that burning heart experience? Yeah? No?
I'm quite brilliant.
Everyone else? Yeah? Yeah? It's agony. It's worse than physical agony. It's a burning heart. What to do? The heart burns because of desires. Arjuna's burning heart, of course, is different. He's burning in the prema-agni, the fire of separation. Love of Krishna and separation. His heart's burning in there. And he knows how to relieve that heart's burning by remembering Krishna's instructions, which are good not only for Arjuna,
but are good for all times, all places, all people. This is a very important point to remember. Because as Srila Prabhupada writes here, there'll be times when you'll need solace from all kinds of mental agonies. That's another thing. The burning heart, the vittapa, and then mental agonies in your mind. When you got both together, you practically want to commit suicide. Anyone ever had both a burning heart and mental agonies? It's just like you practically lose the will to live. Some people do. Arjuna is showing by his example that Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements which may embarrass one in some critical hour. Life in the material world means potential entanglements are always presenting themselves to you, and sometimes you get ensnared. But if you remember Krishna's instructions to Arjuna, you'll find your way out of these great entanglements. So it's very important to understand this, because you will encounter these experiences because you're in the material world. Don't think because you're a devotee you're not going to encounter these experiences. You will encounter these experiences, but you have the way out of them. That's the difference. It's like Srila Prabhupada's disappearance for his disciples was a great agony for the heart and the mind. So we have to meditate on his instructions. These books are preparing you for how to go back to Godhead. They are preparing you for the routine occurrences of this world. Circumstances that will burn your heart and give you mental agony. The difference is that a devotee knows the way out. The devotee follows in the footsteps of Arjuna and gets relief for the burning heart and the mental agony. Gets disentangled from great entanglements which embarrass you. It's a very nice way Prabhupada puts things. Material life is embarrassing. Who likes to be embarrassed? It's a very uncomfortable feeling, isn't it? Be embarrassed. But that's all of material existence. It's an embarrassment for the spirit soul. You don't even like to think of the times when you were embarrassed. You like to forget those things. You've pushed them out of your mind. Is when I always tease Guru Mahārāja about it. I won't mention it. You remember, right? I always try to get him to feel the embarrassment. I won't mention it. It was embarrassing, wasn't it? The first trip to India. Was it an embarrassment?
Because there's no one else around it to be more embarrassing.
What, then?
Because there was nobody else around that knew me. It could have been more embarrassing.
Oh, I see. So that's, a very interesting way to look at life. It's your life always embarrasses the conditioned soul. So, since these things are going to happen, you need to know how to take shelter of Bhagavad Gita. One thing here in the purport, it says something some of you may, especially ladies, can have difficulty with. Not only ladies, but men. But many men, they think, what is this stuff in the Bhagavatam about ladies being the less intelligent class? It says here, referring to Bhagavad Gita, it is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers, and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and higher sections of the Vaishyas. So how would you explain it? What are you going to say? Hey, I got one of your books. And, you know, I was reading it, you know, and it was pretty good, but what about this? I was talking about it, you know. The books, everyone's fear of someone. No, I read them. No. Well, you have to show me. Yeah. Oh, I can't find it now. I'll be back tomorrow. Sometimes they come back and they say, we see here it is, page 861. It is put within the great historical epic Mahabharata, which is especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women. What do you say about that? You heard that? What do you say?
Didn't you say that everyone is in the lower class now? We're all in the same, we're all in the lower classes of the same, you know.
What do you say? Students don't ask me that? What do you say?
I explain how the intelligence is high in the mind, and how the functions of the mind are thinking, feeling, and willing, and how women often act on the platform of feeling, which is lesser than the intelligence.
Just be a woman's, you should be a feminist, you're talking like this. What do you say? You know, another ex-feminist.
I say that men are emotionally handicapped.
What do you say? What do they say? You see, they don't read the whole sentence perfect. Especially prepare for the less intelligent class, namely the women. It doesn't just say the women. It says the laborers and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and higher sections of the Vaishyas. In other words, everybody in Kali Yuga. Everyone. There's no one, you know, there's no one not mentioned. Unfortunately, people just pick out one thing because they don't understand the rest. What does it mean to be a worthless descendant of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and higher sections of Vaishyas? That is, you know, they blank that out. Ooh, look, it says mainly the women. No, it says namely everyone. That's why the Shastra says, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone is born Shudra or less. Let's see, the women, it says everyone. Another place in the Shastra is stated, Janmana Jayate Shudra. Once again, everyone's born Shudra in the age of Kali. Now it's less than Shudra. Panchama, that means fifth class. Shudra is within Vedic culture. Now you're less than that. So, the ladies can say, alright, you bring us Arjuna and Yudhisthira, and we'll consider ourselves less intelligent. That's true. Bring us the Pandavas, and then we'll consider that, you know, yes, you are superior, we're less intelligent. But the fact is, in the age of Kali, there's no Arjunas, there's no Yudhisthiras. Everybody's got problems. So much that half the men these days want to be women. Haven't you noticed? It's the latest thing, you know. It's so, you go to the airports, you used to just see big adverts in the airport, you know, for ladies' perfume. Now, you see, you know, half of the adverts are men. You know? The men want to try being women. The women want to try being men. Everything's a mess. So that's how you answer that point. The Bhagavatam says, Stri Shudra Dvija Panduna. Vyasadeva wrote the Vedic literature, Mahabharata, including Bhagavad Gita, particularly for women, Sudras, and unqualified descendants of Brahmanas. So basically, that means everybody today. Because everyone's less than a Sudra. The proof is that although Bhagavad Gita is in the Mahabharata meant for these kinds of people, the topmost intellectual class, the professors in universities, can't understand Bhagavad Gita. So that's the proof how low things are. The topmost intellectual class of today can't understand a text that Vyasadeva mercifully meant, wrote for women and unqualified descendants of Kshatriyas and Brahmins. Please think about this point about a burning heart, because it's going to happen to you. If you're preaching, there'll be disappointments. You'll sometimes have agonizing moments. Someone you did so much to help turns their back on you, or in some way does something to hurt you, disappoints you. A close friend leaves Krishna consciousness. Did it happen before? It really upsets your heart. Because you want to feel that we're all together for all time. Families break up. We have to be honest in Krishna consciousness, you know. If the society of devotees takes people from the outside world, so that means what's going on in the outside world has some effect on the Krishna consciousness society. Because divorce is prevalent in the outside world, it affects our devotees also. England is the divorce capital of Europe. So it's a very heartbreaking thing. Husband and wife come together in Krishna consciousness with plans. You know. Then children are born, and then there's some disturbance, some breakup. Sad. You'll witness these things. So you have to know how to relieve your heart when these critical times come. It may happen to some of you. You try your best to serve Krishna, but you can't be responsible for what others do. You can't live someone else's life. That's why I always say, what I'm trying to do is prepare both the men and the women to be able to stand on their own feet in Krishna consciousness and stay afloat no matter what Kali Yuga throws at you, because we just don't know what's going to happen. We have to be practical. We want the best for everyone. At the same time, the road back to Godhead in Kali Yuga is can be difficult if you lack proper guidance and you don't know how to give your heart solace. because there will be critical hours, there will be great entanglements that you have to work your way out of. Therefore, please remember this point. Arjuna's critical hour was different. There was no question of material entanglement. Now, his bereavement came from separation from Krishna, which is a type of spiritual happiness also. But that's not possible to understand on the material plane. Actually, Arjuna's so-called suffering was pleasure, because his feelings were all centered on Krishna. So, you may do the rest of the purport in the coming days. If you do a lot of preaching, you'll notice that when people want to fall into Maya, the first book they keep on the bookshelf and don't open is Bhagavad Gita. It's just too direct, just too full on. Keep it on your shelf, you do not open it. There's just no way to escape in Bhagavad Gita. Often they'll read nice stories in the Mahabharata or something like that, but Bhagavad Gita won't read. It's too much, it's too full on. So my desire is that you all remember this. So that you know how to give your heart solace. Any questions?
Thank you very much. A couple of weeks ago, one of the guests at the summer said to me, what about this guy, Chanaka Panda, who says that never trust a woman or a politician? And I wasn't really sure how to answer the question.
What kind of guy was it?
It was Andrew.
So he wants to live like Chanaka Pandit, who is a brilliant advisor who just lived as an austere Brahmin. Does he think he can live like that? Right, but yes, okay. So he should understand the person who made the statement. And also, can he live like that? So then? He's not able to follow that instruction, so? He'll have to trust. It's like, let me think of an example. Never take a breath of polluted air in the city. That would be great if you could do that, right? But who can live like that? How many people can live like that? Some can, very few. You should know certain things. But be practical whether you can live like that. I don't see all the men, you know, becoming brahmacharis. So obviously. Obviously they, you know, they'll enter into relationships and they'll have to do their best. Chanakya Pandit also, he's a moralist. He's not. We don't rely on him for transcendental knowledge. Still, there are verses in the Shastra that resemble that. Once again, you're dealing with a culture and civilization, even during the time of Chanakya Pandit, which the men were much more powerful than they are now. So these statements they seem a little hard to understand when you apply them in today's culture, because the men are so weak. As I said, half the men want to be women. I'm being trusting them, and half them want to be women. So you have to explain the context. Ideally, in a civilization where the men are so powerful, these things can be understood. But now it's hard to understand them. In Kali Yuga, you know what the principle is? Don't trust anyone. Prabhupada said that. If only trust Krishna and you'll never be disappointed. So you can answer like that. In Kali Yuga, you don't trust anyone. Why do you think the Shastra says that? Well, that's Chanakya Pandit with his moral injunctions. But still, there are verses somewhat like that. What does Lord Kapila Dev say? It's not simply don't trust women, don't trust men who are attached to women. Oh, no, but that part they forget. That means everybody. So why do you think the Shastra said that? Who is the instruction meant for? These instructions are meant for those who don't want to be on the bodily platform. But what's the point of someone wanting to be on the bodily platform? They go around saying, never trust a woman, never trust a woman. Yeah, doesn't make sense. You have to decide where you want to be, where you want to go. And then apply these instructions accordingly. In a culture where the men are very powerful, it's better that the ladies rely upon the men. But nowadays, everyone is so weak. Men aren't thinking about protecting ladies. They're not thinking about it, nor are they able. In fact, that's just what happened to wannabe women. So, but in an ideal civilization, these things are quite apparent. The men are so powerful that they don't want to base their decisions on what ladies think. And the ladies don't mind that because the men are so powerful. But it's not like that, man. You have to balance these different things. The point of the shastra is to prepare detachment. So generally, you, based on your experiences, should women be trusted in general when it comes to topics of detachment? You can see from your own practical experience, it's their nature, bodily nature, to be attached. So the shastra is speaking from that standpoint. But as I said, nowadays, everyone's weak. Hello, Sutra Sangha. So just understand what is ideal Vedic civilization and what we have now. The men have ruined themselves because of attachment to sex life. The men have liberated the women, so the women are unrestricted, supposedly for the pleasure of the men, and in the process the men have become so weak. And also sometimes in the shastra, woman, yoshit, means anyone attached to material enjoyment, regardless of their gender. That is a meaning very appropriate for now. Doesn't simply mean the female body, it means anyone who's attached to material enjoyment, male or female. Don't trust them. Reminds you of something my god sister Kamala told me. She said, you know, what are the men doing trying to figure out what ladies want when the ladies themselves don't know what they want? She said it, I don't know. And you think the men these days know what they want? I haven't seen it. There's a mass confusion everywhere. So let us not overlook the realities of the situation. That's why my policy is to give anyone a chance who wants to do something serious for Krishna. equal opportunity employer. You take what you get these days. Oh, you want to preach? You want to manage? Okay, whatever, you know, male, female, in between, go for it. Gotta be practical, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Prabhupada said that the woman should marry to be protected, but, I mean, when the man is weak, can't protect, and everybody is just attached to something. So why should we still marry? I mean, the children, maybe there's divorce, so the children don't have a father anyway.
Maybe what?
I mean, there's so many divorces.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's no reason to get married to throw up the children with father and mother. So what's the reason to marry them?
You have a good point, but the fact is it'll still happen. What I try to do, I feel the most honest thing I can do is to give ladies an opportunity to learn how to stand on their own two feet in Krishna consciousness so that whatever happens, they'll be able to survive. I feel that's the most realistic thing. Yeah. Because you just don't know what these days, you know. the marriages may work fine for a few years and then go downhill. Or, so many things. I've seen everything. Yeah. You've seen everything, right? It's just like, so, it's not the fault of Krishna consciousness. It just so happens we're trying to work with the people who come from such a crazy society. So, my response is to try to give everyone a chance to learn how to stand on their own 2 feet in Krishna consciousness and feel what it's like to be a bit self-sufficient. That's how I resolve this paradox. And I just tell the ladies quite honestly, look, do the best you can, but at least you should know how to take care of yourself in Krishna consciousness. Yes, you're going to marry. Yes, you're going to get attached. Yes, you'll get caught up in children affairs and this and that. And I can't say how it's all going to turn out, but I can say right now you have an opportunity to develop attachment for the holy name, for devotional service. So at least you'll be able to remember you can do it. You can depend on Krishna. There's nothing else. I don't see anything else I can do. So you think that's pretty realistic?
Yeah, definitely.
You can't say, oh, don't marry, that won't work. There's no point in that. That's not natural. And it's not simply the ladies who want a partner. The men also want a partner. Most of them. Not these men. The others, they want. That's how I try to resolve the situation. I don't want to be unrealistic. I don't want that the Krishna consciousness movement takes service from ladies and then doesn't properly equip them for what may happen in the future. Just sweep and mop and clean for a few years and then, you marry and then, we don't worry about you. You'll be all right. No. That's why it's very important that we have female leaders who can train the ladies in how to be relatively self-sufficient and stand in their own 2 feet in Krishna consciousness when these ordeals of the heart come. Just like I instruct the lady leaders that their mission is that since 99.99999% of ladies will marry at least one time in their life. The job of the lady leaders is that the lady can look back. When she's in family, she can look back and remember about her single years in Krishna consciousness and think, those were the best years of my life. Yes. I've got to go through what I'm going through now in Krishna consciousness, but those years when I was preaching and fully engaged in devotional service, living simply, the
those were good years.
So, fair enough?
Yeah, thank you.
And I try to honestly present to the ladies what the realities are. You know, ladies generally like to imagine there's going to be a rose garden everywhere. Yeah. I just patiently try to point out it's not like that. There'll be happiness and there'll be distress when there's material attachment, you can be sure. Can't have one without the other. But here's your chance to be Krishna conscious. And I've seen those ladies who want to be Krishna conscious and are very sincere, they pass over all these difficulties that may come. Yes, they do become Krishna conscious. Of our senior Vaishnavis who are very Krishna conscious, not all of them have had, you know, the perfect life in Krishna consciousness, you know. But they stuck to the Krishna conscious process and it worked, regardless of whatever difficulties they have along the way. Just like you'll read in this chapter, once the Pandava men left home to leave this world, Draupadi and Kunti knew exactly what to do. They knew how to go back to Godhead also. It shouldn't fall apart. Oh, no. They knew our husbands had left to go back to God here. We're also going to go. They were trained. So I think any lady who's intelligent should realize she's got to get training to be able to handle all circumstances. Because you just can't predict. I mean, you have to do the best you can, you know. But there's no guarantee. That's why I advise ladies who have a lot of financial resources before they marry. Make a prenuptial contract or something, that if there's some kind of separation, your resources remain with you, because we have to, you know. There is divorce in Islam. Not in the utopians and the there is. We don't like it, but there is. So I think the laws are such that these days, in some countries, that if the woman has money and the man doesn't, at the time of divorce, the man gets the woman's part of the woman's money. It's like that. Yeah. So therefore, I advise ladies, if you have wealth, just make a prenuptial, legal document. What each person brings to the marriage goes with them if they separate. Yeah. What happens, you marry, you want to be Krishna conscious, and your husband falls into Maya and says, okay, I'm taking your inheritance. You know, you'd be pretty angry, wouldn't you? And he wants to use it all for Maya. Things go on. You have to know how to take care of yourself these days. Of course, if a lady gets a nice husband, that's very good. It's a wild times. Because the outside world is like that, it affects our devotees. Because they're coming from the outside world. We're just recruiting people from that world. Everyone should learn how to depend on Krishna. What would you do if you were living in Palestine or, you know, Chechnya, someplace where there's this constant bombing and explosions and terrorist attacks? You'd be prepared. You know, hey, this is the way it is. Similarly, the whole world is constantly disturbed by Maya. You just have to know how to keep yourself Krishna conscious. So that's what I'm trying to train you all to do. That you have a taste of what standing on your own 2 feet in Krishna consciousness is like. As Guru Vani says, I kind of run a Steiner school. I let each one rise to his or her own level. Give you the space to do that. But you have to be self-motivated. If you're not self-motivated, it's not good for you to be here, because you have to take responsibility for yourself and your motivations. You have to carry your weight. I don't let devotees hide out in Krishna consciousness and not deal with themselves. Krishna consciousness means to deal with yourself. Know where you're at, deal with it, and make progress. Getting late. Alright, so that's alright?
Thank you.
Last question, mm-hmm.
You mentioned earlier about Dhruva Maharaj and how it was confusing when too much for Vishnu. All of a sudden you didn't have any more material desire. But we find there's other instances where, like Karama Muni, where Vishnu is on, he still asks for things. But then with his example, we see that all of a sudden he didn't want what he wanted.
Who didn't want?
Dhruva Maharaj.
Karnava Muni was meant to have the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son. That was an important thing. Therefore, the Lord arranged that he has certain desires. He had to make a home and have a wife, you know. Even in pure Krishna consciousness, there are different levels. Nanda and Yashoda are the topmost level. More than Vasudeva and Devaki. So even within the world of purity, there's different levels. So you certainly don't condemn Karnava Muni. Alright. Have class tomorrow night. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Jure Gita.